children can be dismissed. Very good. As long as it stops there. Okay. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17, and then also verse 19. You say, well, what's wrong with verse 18? Well, it's a good verse. We're just looking at one side of the contrast and not the other, and verse 18 is the other side of the contrast. All right. We spoke a little bit this morning, illustrated the seriousness of certain situations, particularly in application to revival, with the physical, right? In Sunday school, we were talking about that, physical versus spiritual, helping to understand revival a little better. And I mentioned, by illustration, Sarah and her, whatever you call it, escapade, or that's not the right word, seizure, yes, emergency, that's what I'm going for, that we had at camp that one summer. And any time we have a serious thing like that happen, boy, it gets our blood pumping and we're all frazzled and concerned often. We need to keep trusting in the Lord in those situations, but sometimes we don't know what to do. And we get on the phone and we're making phone calls and maybe yelling some commands, and we take those situations very, very seriously. And when it comes to the issue of sin, friends, I'm afraid that we just don't treat it near as seriously as God does. I would like to speak on the serious subject of sin this morning, the serious subject of sin. And as we go into this week together, we need to be as concerned about sin in our lives as God is. God is a holy God. Recently, I've been thinking about the holiness of God a little bit, and we like to think of God as a loving God, and He certainly is. God is loving, He is tender, He is long-suffering, He is merciful, but God is perfectly balanced in every single one of His attributes, and God is also a God of justice. God is also a God of judgment. God is a God who hates sin. And we read through the passages in the Old Testament and see how God's wrath was poured out on those who committed sin often. God hates sin. And this week we need to hate sin as much as God hates sin. God takes it very seriously. And thinking about His holiness, it's interesting that trying to think of the passage in Isaiah. There's also one in Revelation where there are beings in heaven who are speaking of the holiness of God, and they say, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah says, "Is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." They're not saying, "Loving, loving, loving is the Lord of hosts," though He is. But the aspect, the attribute that they bring out so many times, and we see in the Word of God, is the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God hates sin. And as we go into this week together, we must heed to God's warnings about sin, and we must flee from the snares of sin. Even if it's just a small one, even if it's in our mind not a big deal, we need to treat it like it is a big deal, because God certainly does. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, number 1, we see the warning of sin. The warning. The Bible says, verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence," the Bible says. And then verse 18 gives the contrast, the other side, speaking of the wicked, but the path of the just, speaking of the righteous, says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Back to the wicked, verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble."
Number one this morning, the warning of sin we see is given to us by God in verse 14. Really all throughout the scriptures, but here in verse 14 it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of the evil man." It says, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." And as I'm reading verse 15, I'm thinking of it this way. You are headed down a road, maybe, and sin is up ahead. There's temptation. You're about to fall into that trap. And the Bible says, avoid it. And so instead of continuing on that path, you turn to the side. And then it says, and pass not by it. I'm not even supposed to get close to that obstruction in the road. I'm not supposed to pass by it. It says, and turn from it and pass away. Get out of there. So don't keep going that direction. Don't pass by it. Turn from it and pass away. Get away from the sin as quick as you can. We need to take sin seriously. God gives us a very stern, strong warning about the wicked, the path of the wicked. And as we look at that and think about it this morning, we need to understand that sin is nothing to play around with. There's a principle for us to go home with. Sin is nothing to play around with, and I'm afraid many Christians are playing with sin. Think of our entertainment often. The playthings that we do. So sadly today, many Christians are compromising in the areas of entertainment, and they're allowing things to come in and saying it's not a big deal. It's just one word in that movie, or it's just a little immodesty in the gown that's worn in that scene, or whatever. And it's just a song that's, you know, we used to listen to it way back, and I'm just kind of enjoying, you know, my childhood memories. And friends, if it's not holy before God, we shouldn't play with it. It's sin. It is very important that we go to right places and avoid wrong places. It is very important that the songs we listen to are ones that God would approve of, and that we're not listening to the music of the world. It is very important that the movies that we watch, the words that we say, the thoughts that we think are ones that would be in accordance with the holiness of God. They would be acceptable by Jesus if He were here doing them with us. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You see, there are lusts out there, there are temptations, and they're constantly warring against our soul. That part of us that is given to God. If we're saved, we've put our trust in Jesus Christ and made the choice to let Him have our lives. Well, there's a war going on for that part of you. It's warring against your soul. Don't let your guard down in your living room. Don't let your guard down on your smartphone. Don't let your guard down when you're at work around the others and the conversation is happening. Friends, avoid the sin. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Get away from it. We need to take sin as seriously as God does. He hates it. It says in James chapter 1, verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." God's called me to do that here this morning. That's why I'm doing it. I'm trying to challenge you, get away from things that are not pleasing to God. And if you in your heart, in your conscience, think, "I don't know if this is okay," then get away from it. Avoid it. Consider it the path of the wicked and choose to not dabble in that sin. It's nothing to play around with. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God wants to bless you. He wants to satisfy you in this life. He wants to provide your needs. He wants to just pour out His love and blessings on you. But it happens for those who don't go in the path of the wicked, who do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, or walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. So I want to ask you, friend, are you playing around with sin lately? Sin is not just things that we allow into our lives that shouldn't be there, but sin is also things that we don't have in our lives that should be there. Sins of omission. Commission, omission. Friends, God hates both of it. It's all wrong. It's all something that we ought to take very seriously. You think of Jesus when He went and purged the temple and all that was going on there. He hates sin. You think of God, how He dealt with the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. He hates sin. You think of how the Lord dealt with the sins of King Saul. King Saul lost his kingdom. God hates sin. And so here in verse 14, 15, we see God's strong warning about sin. Do we hear it this morning? I'm convinced that if we hear the warning of sin, there's probably some things in each of our lives that we need to purge from our lives. It may be that we need to go home, pull out that electronic device and say, okay, that music, delete. It's not pleasing to God, and I know it, so it's gone now. It may be a magazine subscription that we need to say, you know what, most of this is okay, but occasionally there's some things in there. You know what, I don't need that. It's something God hates, and so I'm going to hate it too. I'm going to take this seriously. I'm not going to make excuses. Cancel. I don't know what it may be, but we must take it all as seriously as God does. Don't play around with sin. So number one, we see the warning of sin here. But number two, notice with me the binding by sin. The binding that is called by sin. Back on the farm, we operated hay balers. And they would bind up all the hay into 4x4x8 squares. And they would be so tight at times when the conditions were just right that you could hardly wedge your fingers in between each one of those leaves of hay. Sin will bind us up in a prison if we don't heed to the warning that is here. Notice how we see the binding that is caused by sin in verse 16. The Bible says, speaking of the wicked, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, I know as we read verses like this, we often think, well, that's talking about the wicked. That's talking about those who don't know the Lord. That's talking about those who are way out there in sin. But the truth is, we could end up in this situation as well, I believe. Because if you keep saying yes to temptations, if you keep giving in to sin, eventually it traps you. It keeps binding you and putting you into this prison. And yes, we have forgiveness if we're putting our trust and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, God has forgiven all our sins, but you still deal with consequences when you play around with sin. And so we see binding that happens here. I remember back on the farm again, we would have one of the chores that would happen, I don't know, every 2 months or something. That may not even be right. I don't know. I just did it when I was told. We would have to graduate the calves to the heifer barn. What that meant was you take the calves that are too big for the little calf hutches, they've outgrown it now, and you'd walk them all the way down to the other end of the barn that we called the heifer barn. The heifer barn was full of a bunch of heifers. They were the young cows who were coming up through the system who had not graduated yet over to the dairy barn. And so it was graduation day. My boss would tell me, go move those calves. I marked which ones are ready to go, and it was my job to move them all the way down to the other end. And there was a few ways to do that. I tried several different ways. One way I tried was a halter. Okay, you put a halter on the calf, and you just tug this thing the whole way. And by the time you were done with that, you were just sweating. I mean, they dragged their feet the whole way, and that's one way. Another way I tried later was I hooked the halter up to the four-wheeler, and that worked pretty well, and you just kind of drag it the whole way, and that worked great if you had the four-wheeler. But it's still, it was very difficult. Once you got there, it's like now this calf is trying to go back, and you got to untie this thing, and it wasn't any easier, it seems, sometimes. Another way was you would take the fencing that was around the calf hutch. They could spend time in the hutch or come out into the open air in this little fencing. And you take that and use it as like this giant horseshoe and just kind of drag them down the whole path to the other end. And they wouldn't resist that as much. I guess it kind of scared them because this thing is rattling all around them. And so they'd walk a little easier. That, I think, was the best way. Used that method the most. But another method that you could use that was the easiest, if it worked, you get that little calf. Again, some of them would be attracted to this, some wouldn't. But you get that little calf, and you just take your fingers like this. Get it down by their mouth, and they'd latch on there and start sucking on your fingers. And if they were really focused on that, then you could just slowly walk them down the whole way to the other end of the barn. You open the gate, and then you go, boom, you shove them in. And it worked pretty well if you had one that really wanted to suck on your fingers like that. I loved when that worked because you could just lure that calf in the whole way and then trap them. Friends, that is what will happen with sin. The devil wants to use temptations to lure you and I in so he can trap us. That's exactly what happens. The binding that is caused by sin. I want to ask you, have you been allowing yourself to be lured in by a temptation that the devil has put in your path? Have you been allowing yourself to be deceived by the devil in a certain area of your life? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, speaking of the wicked there, how their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. You see, they're addicted to this thing. They've been lured in and they're trapped. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." We don't want to be the servants of sin, do we? And let's not allow ourselves to be lured in and deceived by any of those temptations that the devil wants to put in our way. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. Why? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, it has this snowball effect. You start saying, okay, this temptation is a big deal, and you give into it, and you play around with sin. Then the sin and the temptations continue to lure you in and trap you, and soon it's increasing unto more ungodliness. But it was just a movie we enjoyed a little bit that other week. Yeah, but if there was something there that wasn't pleasing to God, it was wrong. And we can't do that again. We need to strive for holiness. God is a holy God, and He expects us to live lives that are holy. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, it says, His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You see, the Bible teaches us that sin will bind us. You say, well, Brother Dan, that's not me this morning. I'm not bound by sin. I'm free in Jesus Christ. Well, praise God, Jesus does bring freedom to our lives. Freedom that can't be matched by any other freedom out there. But if we allow ourselves to play around with sin, this is where we could end up. And I'm not very old, but I've seen people end up there who were God-fearing people with good standards, wanting to serve God supposedly, but I know where some of them are today. What happened? They didn't heed the warning. God takes sin seriously. So number one, the warning of sin. Number two, the binding that is caused by sin. We really see that illustrated in Samson's life, do we not? He was trapped eventually because he kept giving in to those temptations. He kept playing around with it. He kept thinking, this isn't a big deal. But eventually, he fell prey to the traps. Number three, finally, the scarring that is caused by sin. Sin leaves its mark, friends. It's a terrible mark that it leaves. The consequences can last for many, many years. And the Bible teaches us that sin always destroys life. That is the consequence for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says it here in our passage, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "The way of wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And so if we allow ourselves to go down a path that is wickedness, then the Bible says that that way is as darkness. You ever go into a room and the lights are off? You go in there and you're kind of looking around for the light switch, and before you find it, you trip over the army man, or you trip over the truck that was left in the middle of the floor by Uriah, and you stumble over those things. Why? Because you're in darkness. If we allow ourselves to go down a path that is wicked before God, that is sin before God, then we are entering into a dark realm and we will eventually stumble. You can count on it. You will eventually fall. And there are always consequences when someone falls. There are consequences for sin. I remember one day I was getting ready for church. We were all getting ready for church, my family and I. Most of us were in the car. I was going to run back into the house to get something before we left. And I think it had rained that Sunday morning or Wednesday night, whatever it was. And I was running down the driveway, trying to make that 90-degree turn right onto the patio, then make that other turn into the back door. And right there, I slipped on the grass. You can still see the scar as my chin hit the cement. It left its mark. Sin will leave a mark on your life. And praise God if you don't have many marks yet. You heed to this warning and stay as far away from the path of the wicked as possible. How are you going to do that? Every day. Every day. It's recognizing, you know what, this thing in my life that I was planning on doing, I don't know that God's okay with that. All right, then stay away from it. It's having that tender conscience, that sensitivity to God's Spirit, to where you're just completely sold out to the Lord. You want to please Him in everything, and so you are so careful about anything that may displease Him. You're hearing the warning. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And so, we'll see here in the Scriptures that the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not of what they stumble. And when stumbling takes place, it leaves a scar. It leaves a mark. Sin always destroys life. Psalm 1, verses 4 through 6, the ungodly, it says, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It says how they shall not stand in the judgment, and how their way shall perish. It always destroys life. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It always destroys life. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Friend, what are you sowing today? Are you sowing to your selfish desires? Because if you are, and you're giving in to temptations, then you will reap the consequences. As we close this message here this morning, friend, I want to challenge you specifically in standards, in the areas of holiness, personal holiness in your life. I believe that, you know, we are so blessed to come here to Calvary Bible, and there's good folks here, and the fellowship is sweet, but the fact is we're still sinners. And we all have some areas in which we need to grow. What is the area that God wants you to grow in this week? And I really want to challenge you, as I said, to think about the areas of different standards that you hold in your life and personal holiness, and I'll do this, this, and this, but I will not allow this, this, and this. Standards, okay? When it comes to the way we dress, when it comes to the music we listen to, when it comes to the words that we say, the places we go, the thoughts that we think, the areas of personal holiness, are we doing in every way we know what would be pleasing to God? And if not, then let's take it as seriously as God does. And it's time to raise that standard. It's time to change that area of life. It's time to throw that thing away. It's time to do whatever God is asking us to do. The serious subject of sin, will we take it this week as seriously as God does? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sometimes when I share thoughts like this, I think that I just couldn't really impress it enough upon our hearts. God, the truth is I can't. And your Spirit needs to help us to see how seriously you hate sin. And I pray that as we close this service, you, by the power of your Spirit, would convict in specific ways in our hearts. That you will bring to mind the article of clothing that you do not approve of. That you will bring to mind the words that we are in a habit of saying that are not pleasing and glorifying to you. Lord, that you will bring to mind the things that we are overlooking, the things that we've been playing around with and not thinking they're big deals. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.